So good afternoon. The chair calls the ALA membership meeting to order. I've already asked you to come sit in these tables in the foreground. We have a quorum for ALA membership meetings is 75 personal members. Could I actually have a count just because I think this looks, well, this looks like 75, doesn't it? We have 78 members, including the two of us, so we do have a quorum. Yes, please stay at the tables. It will just make it easier for us. Thank you. Don't wander and start sitting in the seats in the back. The proposed rules for the meeting have been circulated to you. They are shown in membership document number 2. Essentially, they suggest that you approach the microphone and wait for recognition before speaking, then state your name, library, or affiliation, and state. Please limit your comments to 3 minutes. If you want to speak a second time on the same issue, wait for those who want to speak on the issue for the first time. We have timed lights that will indicate how much time you have left. When the green light is on, you have 3 minutes. When the yellow light comes on, you have 1 minute remaining. When the red light comes on, your time is up. If you would like to propose an action, a motion form must be completed. For your convenience, the motion forms are available at each end of your tables. Motion forms must be printed legibly, signed by the mover and the seconder, and given to the projectionist before you go to the microphone. This will ensure that the overhead slide of your motion will be ready when your motion is introduced. Thank you. Is there any objection to the proposed rules? If there is no objection, the chair declares the rules adopted. As a courtesy to others, please turn off your cell phones or turn them to silent prompting. If you need to make or take a call, please leave the membership area. It is ALA policy to employ a professional parliamentarian for all of its business meetings at conferences. It is my pleasure to introduce our parliamentarian for this annual conference, Ellie Mina. Also on the platform with me today are Maureen Sullivan, ALA President-elect, Keith Michael Fields, ALA Executive Director and Secretary of the Council, and Joanne Kempf, Director of the Office of ALA Governance. I would also like to introduce Danielle Alderson, our projectionist, over there, and Lois Ann Gregory Wood, Council Secretariat. This meeting is being captioned for the hearing impaired. Our captionist for this meeting is Kathy Cortopassi. I mess up her name every once in a while. If you wish to take advantage of this service, please be seated where you can see the screens. We have reserved a table for members of the press. It is to my left near the captionist table. Electrical outlets are available for those of you who wish to plug in your laptops at the table in this room. At this annual conference, the membership meeting was scheduled to immediately follow the Council Executive Board membership information session, where written and oral reports were presented by ALA officers and ALA financial groups. We presented those reports during this information session to free this meeting agenda so that you can present resolutions or discuss issues that are of importance to this association and to the profession. The tentative agenda for this meeting, membership document number 1, is available at the document pickup station located in the back of the room. Under the 24-hour rule, we have added the following resolutions to the agenda. Resolution in support of whistleblower Bradley Manning, membership document number 4. Resolution on access to information and WikiLeaks, membership document number 5. Resolution on voter suppression in America, membership document number 6. And libraries and librarians are critical to education success resolution, membership document number 7. Do you have any other new business to add? Microphone number 3.
Al Kagan, personal member, and mover of the first two resolutions on your page there. These two resolutions in support of whistleblower Bradley Manning and access to information in WikiLeaks were incorrectly put on this agenda. They are for the council, and would like to remove them.
No objection. They have not been put on the floor, so thank you, Al. So that means that we have only one resolution, two, I'm sorry, the resolution on voter suppression in America and the resolution on libraries and librarians are critical to education success. If there are no other additions to the agenda, with your consent, the chair declares the agenda adopted. ALA policy 7.4.10 states that, quote, agendas of membership meeting shall provide priority to discussion of membership resolutions during the second half of the meeting. Please note that all membership resolutions adopted at this meeting will be considered at the ALA Council 1 meeting on Sunday, June 24th, 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. in this room. ALA policy 7.4.10 also states that memorials, tributes, and testimonials shall be introduced at the beginning of the membership meeting. First, I will read the names of the persons recognized by memorial resolutions. Their names will be displayed on the screen. Let us stand as I read the names of those being remembered today. They are Ray Bradbury, Kathleen Haggerty, Sarah Fine, James Clifton Wellborn, Wanda L. Crenshaw, Jane Howell, and Alexander Boyd. Thank you. Please be seated. We have received one tribute to announce today, Abbé Charles Michel Lepay. Copies of the memorials, tributes, and testimonials are available at the document pickup station in this room. The Committee on Membership Meetings is seeking ideas for the 2013 Annual Conference Membership Meetings. If you would like to make a suggestion, please send your suggestion to Lourdes Garcia Fibo, Chair of the Committee on Membership Meetings, at lourdesgarciafibo@queenslibrary.org. We will now take up the membership resolutions. Let me get to the right place. Would Al Kagan please go to the microphone and read only the resolve clause of membership document number 6, Resolution on Voter Suppression in America.
Resolved that the American Library Association, ALA, 1, opposes voter ID laws, restrictions on voter registration, cuts to early voting, and any other laws resulting in the restriction of lawful access to voting. 2, encourages libraries and librarians to provide information to citizens to mitigate these restrictions should they remain in effect on Election Day.
And you have a second to the motion?
Mary Bibelow.
Thank you. Would you like to speak to the resolution?
Yes, I would. The information that you see in the whereas clauses to this resolution have been taken directly from the ACLU website. If anybody would like to see that, there's one document on there called titled Voter Suppression in America. And there's another one titled, Let People Vote Resources. Now, voter fraud is very, very rare in the United States. According to the ACLU, in 2002, the Department of Justice had a ballot access and voting integrity initiative. And from 2002 to 2005, they found only 26 convictions or guilty pleas for fraud. There are several other studies cited in the ACLU website showing that voter fraud or voter any kind of voter problems are very, very rare. We have in this country right now an organized right-wing campaign to prevent people from voting. In 15 states, laws have been passed to suppress voting, and in 5 more states, other laws are pending. Now, this situation impacts people who are more disenfranchised than the rest of us, including some people of color, the elderly, students, and people with disabilities. We think ALA should do something about this, and therefore we propose this resolution. Thank you.
Microphone number 3.
Mary Biblow, I should say counselor at large, member of ALA. I second this motion based on the very points that the previous speaker spoke to, because I can recall what the president said when she came into the orientation meeting this morning, said regardless of how we feel about a particular subject, we should try and keep an open mind and listen to people who are expressing their ideas. So I think this is one way we can try and express our ideas on what's happening in our society, where we have extreme actions being taken, where people who maybe not have had the right to vote for 92 years, and right at this particular time, you're told you can't not vote, and that you have to go and get I don't know how many ideas. Well, I think we all are librarians. We have a policy manual which states not only should we be reaching out to our communities, I think as Keith said, we should be carrying on activities that can help people become knowledgeable and know their rights. I worked on the voting poll this past election, and that was in New York. One woman came up to me and says, while I was checking in people, and says, you're not asking me for my voter's ID. And I said, the state of Illinois doesn't require, the state of New York doesn't require a voter's ID. She insisted. She gave me an argument. But as my instructions were, is to provide her the right to vote and anyone who had the proper right to vote. I tried to explain to her that she, in the state of New York, there were no requirements for voter's ID. So I said, but if you insist now, you can show me your driver's license. And it seems to me that we as librarians should be taking an active role in our communities in trying to help educate people in our communities like we do when we're trying to get them to register for driver's license.
Thank you. Microphone number 5. Thank you. Microphone number 6.
Nan Blaine Hilliard, personal member of ALA Council. I very much appreciate efforts to encourage citizens to vote. I'm actively involved with the American Association of University Women, which is very involved in particularly emphasizing the importance of the woman's vote this fall. I also very much encourage my own library registers voters, that is the staff register voters, and the importance of libraries in getting voter education information out to patrons. But I am concerned with the resolve clause number 1, because I want ALA to be able to stick to very definitely identifiable ALA library-related issues. I'm not opposed to the voter education and the freedom of voter information, but I, the encouragement for voter registration transparency and making it as easy as possible for people to vote, but I don't think that clause number one is something that is directly relevant to ALA.
Thank you. Microphone number three.
Zora Sampson, Counselor at Large, University of Wisconsin-Platteville, Director of Library. I would say that I believe that number one is directly connected because I spent this last year in Wisconsin trying to inform people who came to the library what actually their rights were to vote because we were facing these laws and then we faced battles in court about the laws, so there was so much change. We were told that the people in each city, we should go to the people in the city to find out how they were going to apply the new laws. Many of these are retired people who help out at the polls, and they were trying to come and teach everybody, but it becomes incredibly difficult to get accurate information. It's very hard for libraries to give people the truth when it's in constant flux. And people aren't understanding this, so it really does impact our jobs. Thank you.
Thank you. Microphone number three.
Herb Biblowa, personal member. Over my many years in the American Library Association, I've seen the association take some very courageous positions on issues that put them out front. But today, I'm supporting a resolution that really doesn't take any courage. It just takes a sense of community. And I urge everybody to support this resolution. And I should add something that Mayor Biblow should have mentioned. The ALA Black Caucus has endorsed this resolution. So I urge everybody to speak up for civil liberties. Thank you.
Thank you. Microphone number three.
Pam Klipsch, personal member. I think this does indeed have a direct impact on libraries because so many library employees are deputized to take voter registrations. And so many libraries serve as polling places during elections. So these are issues that are very germane to us because people come to the library to get information. They come to the library to register to vote. They come to the library to vote. So if they're going to encounter restrictions and problems, they're going to encounter them in our libraries. And I think we need to take a stand.
Thank you. Microphone number five. Thank you. Microphone number six.
Peter Hepburn, personal member and also the GLBT Roundtable Counselor. This morning at GLBT Roundtable Steering, the Steering Committee did discuss this resolution and it endorsed it in principle. Thank you.
Thank you. If there is no further discussion, we will proceed to the vote. Will all those in favor please raise one of your hands? Thank you. Will all those opposed please raise one of your hands? The motion carries. It will be referred to council. Would Sarah Kelly Johns please go to the microphone and read only the resolve clauses of the School Libraries and Librarians Are Critical to Education Success Resolution Membership Document Number 7.
Thank you. Therefore, be it resolved that the American Library Association directs the ALA Presidential Task Force to lead the association in its continued mission to address the urgent need for advocacy for school libraries, school librarians, and the impact of deprofessionalization and curtailment of school library instructional programs on students and student achievement, continuing to engage librarians of all types from across the association to advocate for school libraries, which are imperative to the survival and successes of all and success of all libraries. That ALA encourages state associations and affiliates to influence legislation requiring adequate funding and appropriate staffing of school libraries in schools at all levels. That ALA places a high priority on seeing that the upcoming ESEA legislation recognizes and specifically supports the necessity for effective school library programs and credentialed school librarians. That ALA works to encourage federal lobbying efforts to include school librarians in legislation and regulations, including areas such as digital literacy and broadband, and that ALA actively seeks partnerships with national organizations to reach mutual goals of sustaining school libraries. At this point, this has been endorsed by PLA, YALSA, Chapter Relations, ALSC, and it was voted unanimously by the AASL board that I propose this resolution.
And the motion is seconded by Cynthia Sazak. Would you like to speak to the motion, Sarah, as the mover of the motion?
Certainly. This resolution came from the School Library Presidential Task Force, which has members from all of the divisions and chapter relations, and it recognizes the fact that when one library in a society is in crisis, that all libraries in a society are in crisis. And I very much appreciate that approach, and I hope that this will be effective. I have found it that people are already finding it something that they would like to take to their local governments, because much of advocacy is local. Take to their local school boards, take to their local administrations, and in support of school library positions, the fact that all of ALA support school libraries is very important at this point in our society.
Thank you. Microphone number 5. Would you turn the mic up just a little bit so we can hear? There you go. Thank you. Microphone number 5.
Can I ask you, Mr. Chairman? I'm not asking you to pay for this resolution. As a public librarian, I saw it.
Thank you. Microphone number 5. Thank you. Microphone 5. We didn't even get to recycle the clock before you stepped up there. Microphone number 6.
Larry Romans, personal member. I don't see how any of us can be against this, but just for curiosity's sake, if you have read this entire resolution, raise your hand. A number of you have. Surprising to me, really. My point is that this is way too long, that if we want people to read this resolution, it shows all the work that the task force has done, but it could be half as long and still get those points out, and it'd be much more likely that someone is actually going to read this wonderful resolution.
Thank you. Microphone number 4.
Ann Dutton, Eubank. personal member and member of the School Libraries Task Force. I'd like to thank President Raphael for convening this task force at such a very important time when school libraries truly are in crisis across the country. I'd also like to thank President-elect Sullivan, for continuing this task force, because the work, we've worked really hard over the last year, but we're certainly not done. And I'm really glad to see that there will be continuity across the two presidencies. Keith Michael Fields, Marcy Marola, and Jacqueline Finicky for their support. The staff have been great this year. And just on a personal note, in my home state of Arizona, 5 more school districts completely eliminated school librarians. And we are down to 24% of school districts, public school districts in Arizona staff with a certificated school librarian. So the work is definitely not done. I know that there are other states in the nation that face a similar issue. Thank you again.
Thank you very much. Seeing no one at the microphones, I think we're ready to proceed to the for a vote. Will all those in favor please raise one of your hands? Thank you. Will all those opposed please raise one of your hands? The motion carries and it will be referred to council. There is time on the agenda for new business, but I don't think we have anything else, do we? Just announcements. And there are no announcements. Okay, well, I want to take a moment and just note a historic note. This is the first time, other than the virtual membership meeting, where we have had a quorum for quite a long time. And we had some good discussion and voted on 2 resolutions. So thank you all members who came to this meeting and for taking time to do that. That's it. So I declare the membership meeting adjourned. Thank you.